혼자 주저앉아
Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's a typical day in Seoul, Korea. Young people lift weights, have a picnic in the park, go to work, move out of their apartments, sing karaoke, go drinking, have sex. They meet, they interact, they drift apart. The interesting thing is, though, none of these people are actually Korean. They may look Korean. They may speak Korean, they may have Korean names, but they're not Korean Koreans. They're Gyopo. Gyopo is also the name of a new feature film that chronicles the ups and downs of Gyopo millennials over the course of one day in Seoul. It's fresh, filthy, and fun. The film was directed by award-winning Toronto filmmaker Samuel Ki-hoon Lee. Samuel is a grad of the Canadian Film Center's Director's Lab and is currently doing his MFA at York University. Gyopo is having its world premiere at Toronto's Real Asian Film Festival on Saturday, November 9th at the Tiff Bell Lightbox. And I'm very pleased to have here in studio at CIUT Samuel Ki-hoon Lee to tell us more about Gyopo. Hi, Samuel.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for coming in. Oh. So first obvious question for the listeners, what is a Gyopo?
Gyopo is someone like me. I was born and raised in Toronto and just somebody of Korean descent who sort of has this experience living abroad. And a lot of us make our sort of pilgrimage back to the quote-unquote homeland. And when we're there, we get labeled as this word, Gyopo.
Is that a derogatory term, a complimentary term, or a neutral term?
Well, I think in the old days, maybe it was considered derogatory because we weren't, culturally with it, like part of everybody else. But I think as time goes on and everybody, you know, we're living in a more globalized kind of world, I think the term has become more of a neutral thing.
Okay. And yet in the movie, some of the characters who may be Gyopo pretend that they're not. Is that true or? Or some, they might say, oh no, I'm not a Gyopo, even though they speak perfect English.
Yeah, that's the thing. So people who are sort of born and raised in Korea but speak perfect English, they don't identify themselves as Gyopo.
Okay.
And so they, we're getting now into the identity politics of
yeah.
it all. So people, some people don't like being called Gyopo. Those who, that are born and raised there don't enjoy the term. But I guess for most of us who do live abroad and we kind of just don't care.
What does it literally mean, Gyopo?
Literally, it means a Korean person abroad. Like that's the
so
old,
Gyopo is a
oh to break it down into the I don't know what it means.
Oh, okay,
the basic characters
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's okay. And you yourself, you told me before, you are a Gyopo or you were a Gyopo. You lived in Seoul.
Yeah, I'm still a Gyopo. I'll always be a Gyopo.
Oh, okay, you're a Gyopo even in Canada.
I'm a Gyopo even in Canada.
Okay.
So if I were to run into a Korean person, say like a foreign exchange student here who speaks broken English or something, but they were born and raised in Korea, they would think of me as a Gyopo because I was born and raised here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the film is about this group of interlocking stories that goes in and out from character to character where showing the typical life or the strange life of a Gyopo in Seoul, some of which is good, some of which is not good at all. One of the opening scenes is a man having sex with a very drunk woman.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. So we're treated to a view from behind doing that. So there is a lot of nudity in the movie. Is it always you or are there other? No, there's another character, at least one more.
Mm-hmm.
No. There's at least one other guy and at least one woman, but we don't see her face. Maybe some more.
Yeah, there are a total of four nude characters.
Oh, okay. And what are the challenges of shooting nude people, including yourself?
Well, yes. The hardest part is casting. As people, you know, especially when you're working at such a low budget, the people who are willing to donate their time and their bodies to be in this film and to kind of like contribute to the artwork of it all. So that was difficult to find somebody who would just agree and say, oh, let's do it. And luckily I did.
If they show this film in Korea, which I'm sure you hope they will eventually, or maybe not, can they show genitals?
Yeah, it's...
So that's no censorship now.
There is censorship in Korea. That's a more complicated story. But, I mean, even the most famous Korean actor, Song Kang-ho, was, he had a brief nude scene in one of Park Chan-wook's films. And so it is still controversial, but it's not against the law.
So we're talking about naked bodies, and the whole idea of the body is a major factor in this film. There's people worrying about their features, about plastic surgery, about what they look like, about building their body. Like there's a German-Korean gyopo who's a weightlifter. There's women who are worried about their eyes. There's things like that going on. So talk about the body in this film, the portrayal of the body.
That's an interesting observation. I think for Gyopo's, there's this, like, one of the main themes is the sense of being lost.
Right.
And there are people who are, I think when you grow up in a sort of Western milieu, you feel a little bit out of place. And so you go back to this place where you look like everybody, but you're still not one of them. And so there's this kind of quest to figure out who you are, what your identity is. And there's even a person who is literally trying to figure out her identity because she's an adoptee. And I think that also plays itself out with trying to figure out who you are and what your body is and where you are physically in space. So, and for the women, they sort of, you know, focus on their faces and the makeup and things. And for the men, their bodies and trying to, you know, build themselves up and feel like, I think we work on ourselves physically and superficially to get a sense of where we belong.
You bring up the question of adoptees. There's two types of Gyopo. There are those whose family emigrated in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and later who grew up there in that situation. But there was a large number of Korean kids who were adopted in homes in Northern Europe, US, Canada, who know absolutely nothing about who their family is. And many of them are the sort of Gyopo who's completely Scandinavian in outlook, but physically they look Korean and they want to find out what are their roots, where do they come from. Could you talk about that and about that character in the film?
So Nikki Webster is the actor you're talking about, and she's very typical of a lot of adoptees that come back to Korea to figure out who they are, what they're doing with themselves, and what their histories are. While I was there, I ended up, you know, befriending a lot of the adoptee community. My partner is an adoptee. And so I just kind of felt that they, you know, needed to play a small chapter in this film somehow. Because it's funny, when I tell them I think of them as Gyopo, and when I ask them to be in my film, they say, well, I'm not really a Gyopo. They don't see themselves as that. And I think we're just getting into semantics.
Mm-hmm.
But I see them as Gyopo because, you know, you are culturally, you feel like you're a Westerner, but you have this Korean face. And that, for me, that's my definition of a Gyopo. And that's why, you know, that's when I see an adoptee struggling with that, I think that their struggle with identity is everyone's struggle with identity.
In the film, I noticed in the titles, a lot of the names of the characters are the same as the names of the actors. So talk about what extent what we're seeing is real and what we're seeing is scripted, what we're seeing is rehearsed, what we're seeing is spontaneous. Talk about how you made this film using real people but playing characters much like themselves.
Right. I wanted to cast people who didn't have to stretch too far, that were... In terms of the Gyopos that I cast, they were predominant. Most of them, I would say almost all of them, were non-actors. And So I wanted them to just bring from their own experiences to make it the most sort of naturalistic performance that they can do. And I would put them in odd situations, but they would react in their own specific way within that odd situation.
Was it scripted entirely or not?
There was no script for this film.
There was no script?
Yes.
Because there's some very good dialogue and...
Though that's kudos to the actors for coming up with,
ability. No script. I didn't realize that. So would you consider this, like, if you were to give percentage documentary, percentage fictional drama?
Oh, I would give it about 5 to 10% documentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything that happened unexpectedly that ended up in your film?
Oh, you know, fun stuff like I would set up the camera and a random drunk person would walk by.
Yes, I saw that. I just assumed that was a very good actor. No, they're actually just drunk.
Yeah.
But you do have some like intersecting different characters who appear in one scene and then later in another scene. Like there's the English conversation pupil who's not a very nice guy.
No, he's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the Korean actors, yeah. They were predominantly professional actors.
Right, right.
So I wanted to utilize them in different facets
and
bring them back. And that guy is, Korea is very patriarchal and misogynist, and I kind of wanted to have that kind of typical character. And he would be evil in three scenes in his own way.
Your own character wasn't all that nice either.
Oh, no, he's deplorable.
I was going to say he's terrible. I can't use bad words on the air, but he was like not a nice guy.
No.
He has followed this trend of picking up extremely drunk women to have sex with them.
That's right.
Talk about this trend.
At one point in his, what he says is that's what they do here. I wanted to explore what it means to what Asian masculinity is.
Right.
In the Western context, Asian men are sort of very much emasculated, and when they go to a country where suddenly they feel like they're the man, they suddenly behave badly, and they think they have license to behave badly because they kind of do. It's not great to be a woman in that country,
and because they can get away with it.
Yeah, it's awful. And I'm kind of exploring that as I just wanted to kind of show that.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. Like there's sympathetic characters and there's not at all sympathetic characters, sort of black sheep or anti-heroes. But worse than anti-heroes, they're like just not sympathetic.
No.
Another interesting thing just about the style of the film, you have scenes in beautiful black and white, scenes in color, and scenes that seem to combine the two, there's a performance artist that's black and white with color projected on her. Mm-hmm. There's other scenes where certain items are highlighted in color. Talk about your decision to alternate between black and white and color.
Well, I mean, I shot everything in color and took out the color in the post-production process. But I always felt that certain things could be highlighted in color. There are, I don't know, when you watch the film, you get a sense of why things are in color. Certain objects are in color. Certain events are in color. They're meant to highlight preciousness or desire or dreams. Things like that.
Yeah. So it's a very complex film with lots of storylines, lots of interacting characters. If you were to sum it all up in a sentence or two, what is Gyopo about?
Well, presumably, as I'm speaking to a listener, I would say Gyopo is somebody like me. So I'm someone who's sort of born and raised abroad. And my film is about a bunch of us, a day in the life, 24 hours, trying to make sense of it all in a very complicated city like Seoul.
Samuel Ki-hoon Lee, great to talk with you. Gyopo is having its world premiere at Toronto's Real Asian Film Festival next Saturday, November 9th at 8 p.m. at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. And
we're giving away two free tickets.
So giving away a pair of tickets to this screening. only for listeners right now, send an email to me. That's daniel@culturalmining.com, daniel@culturalmining.com, and in the subject line, write Gyopo, G-Y-O-P-O. That's the title of the film. The rest of you who don't win, this is your chance to see the world premiere of this very interesting movie. Okay, and there'll be a drawing for that one name, so send me an email now. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.